The reading is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, and also verses 18 to 23. It's found on page 925 and 926 of your Green Bible. That's Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, to start with. The parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him, and he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was gathering the seed, some fell along the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they were withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." And now on to verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but worries of this life and deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Great, Clemmie, thank you. I'd love you to have that open, page 926. Just a moment or two for you to reread it, skim it through. It's familiar, I'm sure, to some of us. It may be new to a few of us, this story of Jesus. Pray for us as we read and chew and reflect on God's word. Father, we love these stories of Jesus as they illustrate the kingdom of heaven. And we pray that we would be those who have ears to hear, that we'd be listening to your spirit even now as you speak through your word. Teach us, Father, release us, grow in us, and grow us as we take our part in your kingdom here on earth. For the sake of your name, amen. Amen. Hopefully you got a, did you get a copy of these notes, like a little, my sort of bullet points? And on the back, some questions. Quite a lot of questions that some refer to last week and this week, and they are for your own personal devotion during the week, but also you might like to bring them to house group and just work through, even if it's just one or two questions, as the Lord leads, but to enable us to dig into this parable. I was speaking last week on it. I'm going to speak next week on it too. We're sitting in here at the start of this term, the start of this new season for us. We've just prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that look like? What do we anticipate by way of answer? If we pray a prayer, we say something, we petition God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are you looking for? What are you hoping for? Why do you pray that? Why do I pray that? What would it look like, God's kingdom? How would I recognize it? How can I access it, live in it, be a part of it? It's my conviction, I said this last week, that Jesus really wants us to understand what heaven is like on earth. That's why he teaches a whole load of these parables. I think there's 6 or 7 parables in chapter 13. Matthew has kind of gathered his material to get all Jesus' best teaching. Boom, chapter 13, on the kingdom of heaven. And you'll note, if you just flick through the headings, which I know aren't necessarily always so helpful, but you can see that actually they're to do with growth. The parable of the sower, I want to say really it's about seeds and soil. But the parable of the weeds, the things that grow. The parable is the mustard seed and yeast. And then the treasure and the pearl, things of value. The kingdom is valuable. It's treasure. The kingdom grows. Tiny beginnings, little yeast. Infects a whole batch of dough. Tiny mustard seed, great big plant. Little seeds, 100 times what was sown. That the theme, the recurring theme is, what is the kingdom of heaven like? In answer to that prayer, your kingdom come. The kingdom of heaven, whatever it is, it grows. And I was saying last week that I want to lay out really for this next season, I want us to pay as individuals and as a church particular attention to growth. I love that we are planting these new house groups. The number of house groups is growing. Fantastic. I love that the people within house groups and other individuals I know are growing, maturing in the church. It's wonderful. I notice that as a church body, we're kind of numerically, we've kind of been plateaued for a little while. And I think if for nothing, no other reason than to honor the original vision of the architect, who put in seating for 600 people. If only just to keep up with the national average, about 5% of the population attend church on a regular basis. Our parish is about 6,000. That means that 5% of 6,000, if my math is right, is about 300. So if we're going to be at the national average, which frankly is appalling anyway, but that's another story. If we're going to be, I just wonder whether we've got a vision for God to grow this place to 300 people. I want to put it out there. I want to pay attention to that. I was saying last week that, you know, God's seed in good soil, it will grow. The question isn't so much, how do we make the church grow? The question is, what's preventing the growth that God is longing to bring? And maybe we need to pay attention to that. Just two things you'll see from the point here. The significance from the notes, the significance of the seed and the activity of Satan. And I'm aware of time and there's communion, so it's just bullet points. The seed. The farmer in the story doesn't sow seeds. He sows the seed. Lots of the seed. It's singular. Do you notice that all the way through the story? It's not a story about seeds. In our multi-religious spiritual mishmash of a culture that we live in the 21st century, kind of exacerbated by the World Wide Web and access to all sorts of information. My goodness me, the sort of religious and spiritual confusion and fug and malaise that is out there. I see it with some of the sort of thinking and understanding that people bring on Alpha, for example. And that's why Alpha is such a good opportunity to let people sort of explore and tease out, what do I actually think about this? I've read this and downloaded that and picked up bits and pieces, sort of cut and paste spirituality. It bears really very little resemblance to actually most of the mainline religions or philosophies. Incidentally, quite a lot of the religions out there are frankly, you know, New Age stuff and so on. They're really philosophies dressed up in religious clothing. But there's a lot of confusion. It's not about That the way to God, the way to grow the church, is not through taking lots of little bits from all the seeds. The farmer sows the seed. The uniqueness of Jesus Christ. It's my keys. If ever there was a sign of the fall, it's a bunch of keys, isn't it? How I long that sin hadn't entered the world so that we could so completely trust each other. I could leave my house open, my car open, my everything else. I wouldn't have to go around spending half my life looking for these. But here they are. The thing about these keys on these two bunches here is that every single one of them was cut, deliberately cut for a purpose. But only one of these keys will open the front door to my house. It's that one. Here's the beguiling thing. Most of these keys are absolutely useless if I want to get into my house. Except that one, interestingly, I can just about get that into the lock. And I think also that one. So of all these keys, all of which have a purpose and a point, but it's those three that come closest. I can get those two in the lock, but they don't open the door. Only that key opens the door. And of all the isms and ologies and so on out there, I guess there are the three monotheistic, Judaism, Islam, Christianity. And of those three, Christianity stands unique. Jesus stands unique. Again, the first two or three weeks on Alpha, I think it just brilliantly lays out Jesus. There has been no one like him. Jesus, the way to the Father. The disciples came to Jesus and said, we don't know how to connect with God. We don't know the way to the Father. Show us. And Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. Try me out, but there's others too. I am the way. No one comes to the Father except by me. It sounds, doesn't it, in our tolerant, sort of liberal society, it sounds so exclusive, doesn't it? You can't believe in that. We're liberals here. We're a liberal society. You can't believe in that. Oh, how liberal. You've just excluded me. I happen to believe that's true. There's one key to my front door. There's one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the seed. Now, you may want to wrestle with that. That's fine. I really hope you do. Let's wrestle with these things that hit us sometimes. Kind of get me my back up. That's why Alpha is brilliant as a little refresher. Come and have some time. Give some time to work it out. Starts on the 3rd of October, Wednesday evenings. Or invite a friend to come with you, and you can look at that together. The seed, the significance of the seed. And secondly, the activity of Satan. I don't really want to talk about Satan. It's the Hebrew for the deceiver, or the devil, diabolos in the New Testament. In opposition to God. I don't really want to talk about him because he's an attention seeker anyway. And so I don't want to talk about him any more than Jesus does, but it strikes me Jesus does. And again, if you look at these parables, this sweep of teaching in Matthew 13, the predominant theme, the overarching theme is the growth of the kingdom, but there's a subtext. That growth of the kingdom will be opposed. There'll be resistance. There's another parable about the wheat, and it grows up amongst the weeds. There's resistance to the growth of the kingdom. And here, there's constant resistance to the seed-producing crop. It's snatched by the birds on the path. It's scorched by the sun where it has a shallow root. And it's choked by the thorns where some of the seed fell. Snatched, scorched, choked. There is constant opposition. And if you're looking to open up the soil of your life, if you're looking to receive God's word, to read portions of scripture on a regular basis, to set aside time from the clamor of the world, to be still before God and to hear him. If you're going to set aside time to commit to a house group, I'm going to join with other believers. I want to teach and help them. I want them to teach and help me. If you're going to do that with a view to growing and allowing God's life to grow in you, you'll face opposition. Sooner or later, mark my words, birds or sun or rocks or thorns will want to get in the way. That's why it's so important to root yourself in God's word. So important to root ourselves in one another, in fellowship and relationship. It's why I heartily commend a house group. You saw those people. They're all fantastic. I want to be in every one of those groups. You saw them raise their hand. If you're not in a house group, make a beeline. I want like a sort of freshers' fair at the back of church after coffee. Just go. You have my permission. I promise you have my permission this Sunday to just stand back and go, which one looks nice? And then just go for them. I don't care how people get into house groups. Just get into a house group. Because that's how you'll be with other good soil, other growing crops. Because there's a war on, to use another biblical metaphor. And we need to stand firm. But just in finishing, some bullet points by way of, observation. First of all, it's just to note that the agents of Satan in this story, the birds, the rocks, the sun, they're not intrinsically evil. Birds are lovely. They're sweet little things. It's just they're not great when they're snatching the seed of God's word, but at other times. And rocks, they're not great if you're trying to grow. But rocks, I mean, if you shape them, you'll need them for a foundation or to build a wall. Rocks are good. It's just in that context, they can be used to subvert or resist God's purposes. The sun, we need the sun. I mean, how would the corn grow, actually? How would you get a crop of 100-fold unless you had the sun? But too much sun scorches. I didn't realize, you know, for a long time, I'm making a general statement here now in the medical realm, so I think I'm right in saying, generally, that cancer cells, I used to think cancer cells were bad cells. We've got good cells in our body and then bad cells, and bad cells are cancerous. But cancer cells are good cells that have just got out of control. In and of themselves, I know different cancers are different, but in general, cancer cells are good cells. It's just they don't know when to stop proliferating, and so they get to a stage when they're actually dangerous and lethal. So, you know, I'm very conscious. Since I've been back from sabbatical, all rested and refreshed, I've made two great howlers. And actually, I think the enemy has got in and just spoiled, sullied an element of church life. So I totally recognize I've been to blame. But am I evil? Are we being led by the devil? No, I'm a child of the Father. And I come back to him and he says, Tim, you bozo. And I go, yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to say that, or not in that way. And and what can I do? How can I repair it? Show me. And we get back on track. So, long-standing sort of images of one another. If we're not careful, as well, the work of the enemy. No. But from time to time, because we're in a war zone, we're camera live, action. There's stuff going on, so we pay attention. But then, not intrinsically evil. The soil conditions can change. The seed that lands on the path where the people tread, and so it's solid ground, and it just bounces, doesn't go in. But you know what? All it needs is for the farmer to come along with a plow or a fork and just turn that soil, and it becomes good soil. And that path can change. You chatting with anyone at the moment? Colleague at work, they just seem so closed to Christian things. It's like you pop a little seed, boom, just pounces off. Lord, please cultivate the soil of my colleague's heart, mind, life, so that the seed goes in. I was chatting to Caitlin, just staying with us this morning. We were just chatting about someone she knows who went to university hard. And then the Lord just used someone else to plow the soil of their life. Boom, that person is now a deeply committed follower of Jesus Christ. The seed used to bounce off, now it goes in. You'll know stories like that. We rehearse stories like that. So the conditions can change. Hey, just note as well, the seed that went on the rocky ground and the seed that went in the thorns, yes, it eventually died, but it started off living. It started off growing. Again, are there men and women, boys and girls around us, people that we know, who've received the word. It's growing, but there are rocks or challenges. Maybe you're aware of that. We'll say a little bit more about this next week. aware of that in your own life. You know that the seed has gone in, it's taken root, it's sprouting, but 100-fold? 60? 30? Well, that's just a few shoots, I think, and I'm struggling. Well, again, that's the beauty of Christian fellowship, that we help one another to get rid of the rocks, to come out of the sun for a bit, get away from those thorns, so that we can grow. He can grow in us. Because, and my final point to finish is point two on the notes under the second heading there. It's just a return to the main theme of this story and of these stories in Matthew 13. God's seed in good soil will grow. God's seed in good soil will grow. And the invitation and the challenge is to believe that, to take Jesus at his word. He went and explained this parable to the disciples. He didn't explain all his parables, in fact, very few of them. But this one he does, because he really wants us to get it. His seed, the message of the kingdom, Jesus Christ, in good soil will grow 100-fold. Here's the challenge I leave you with personally for you in our groups as a church. Do we believe that? 100%. That'd be good. This is 100 times. What will that look like in my life? In yours? What will that look like in my relationships? My family? What will that look like at home? 100 times what Jesus has sown into me, coming out, bearing fruit, growing. What will that look like in our house groups? What will it look like in this church? Can you imagine this church? 100 times what's sown. Will you take time this week? Just, I know we're busy. Loads going on. You're commuting to work, you're early morning, late night, when you go to bed, whenever it is, a little, just a time. Lord, help me to see what that will look like. What will it take? Is there anything in the way? How can we grow to be in line with the kingdom parables that Jesus teaches? Amen. 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 We're going to move into a time of communion. Tom, have we got, where's Tom? There he is at the back. Have we got a, I think we're going to sing a song. This just allows us to kind of change mood, as it were, just to prepare ourselves for communion. And I think the children and families are going to come and join us back. We like to celebrate.